Hi, I'm PJ Vogt, and I want to tell you about my podcast, Search Engine. We try to make sense of the world, one question at a time. No question too big, no question too small. We will even answer your questions if you send them in. Stuff like, what happens when a cemetery goes out of business? What should we do about teens using AI to do their homework? Who buys luggage at the airport luggage store? Follow and listen to Search Engine in partnership with Odyssey, wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Radio 94 WIP. I'm Tom Kelly in for Big Daddy Graham on a Monday morning. If you want to get in, 215-592-9494. At some point this hour, we'll get to actually breaking down this game, which, you know, it's really secondary to what's going to go on at the quarterback position in my mind. And it's not even about Jalen Hurts to me. It's about Carson. And I want to see how he responds. I'm fascinated by this. Because he's faced adversity, but never like this. Never where his job has been in this kind of jeopardy, where the organization is vocally basically saying, I mean, in front of the nation on Monday Night Football, yeah, we're losing some faith. When the reports come out that Jalen Hurts taking more reps, Jalen Hurts is expected to play more, this is kind of a challenge to Carson Wentz. And I want to talk about that in a little bit here, because it was kind of curious to me how these reports come out, you know, over a day before the game. And I kind of feel like the Eagles organization may have tried and been sending a message to Carson Wentz, putting this stuff out there, maybe to motivate him a little bit. Let's go to Mike in South Philly. What's up, Mike?
Hey, how's it going, Tom?
How's it going, man?
Yeah, you know, one of the things that I kind of take issue with when people talk about Wentz is that when, and not specifically you, I know, because I know this isn't really what you were inferring, but I do hear people go like, you know, Wentz is just in a funk and he needs to snap out of it. Now, I do believe there's no question he's having his worst season by far. I mean, it's not even close.
Right.
But he's really only looked elite for like 10 games of his entire career. It's not like this is his ninth season and he's had seven great MVP caliber seasons and this is his first bad year as a pro. Like, his rookie year was solid. He was decent. His, obviously, you know, MVP caliber season in 2017 was great. But since then, he simply hasn't been the same. He hasn't. So I'm not sure there's anything for Wentz to wake up to. Like, what, is he going to revert back to what he was in 2019, which was mediocre up until December? Like, is that good enough now? Like, even if Carson Wentz improves his game and, quote-unquote, snaps out of whatever funk he's in, what even is his ceiling anymore?
Yeah, like, I think that's tough to know, Mike. You know, I think people will point to his ceiling being 2017. I don't think he's going to get back to necessarily that level. But, you know, does he have the talent to be a top 10 guy? Maybe. I mean, he clearly did at one point. The thing is, you know, he can be better. I mean, at least I think he can be better than what he's been this year. What his ceiling is, I'm not sure. But I do think he can certainly be better than what he's been. And I'm interested to see how he kind of responds to this, because I do think there's something going on with him mentally, maybe even emotionally, that maybe this does do something. And I'm not saying it necessarily will. I'm just interested to see if it does.
Yeah, and I agree. But I don't even know if he could ever get, like, when you watch him play, forget about all the mental mistakes. I'm not even talking about that. When you watch him move, like when you watch him move in the pocket, when you watch him take off and run, it looks like he's aged 10 years in like 3 years. Like,
it does.
He doesn't move close to his fluid. You know, he doesn't have the same fluidity. He's not as athletic. I mean, it's just night and day. When you look at the way he was in 2017, the way he moved in the pocket, you know, evading pressure, you know, ducking under pass rushers, taking off. When he runs now, I mean, he looks like a guy who's been a statue his whole career when he used to be known as being athletic. Like, he doesn't even have that anymore.
No, he doesn't. He doesn't, and that is certainly a major problem. Now, I don't know, though, you know, if he necessarily would need that to get back to playing at a high level. Like, that was obviously at one point a big part of his game. I mean, you do see other quarterbacks adapt and adjust, but I think more of it, And I know he hasn't looked good physically. I think more of it is mental, though. I really do. I think more of it is mental as far as, you know, people get on Doug for not moving him out of the pocket. He can move out of the pocket on his own if he wants to. I don't think he's physically incapable of doing that, because at times we've seen it, even this year in like the Baltimore game and late in the Cincinnati game. I think it's more a mental thing at this point.
Well, I agree with that, but at the same time, you know, one of the things that made him like great in 2017 was like Carson Wentz was never a great pocket passer. So I think to maximize his talents, you need to also utilize his legs and athletic ability. It's not like he was Peyton Manning and he could just carve defenses up from the pocket. When you force him to play within the pocket, you're forcing him to essentially be great with his accuracy and timing, which was never his strong suit. So I think if he's lost that athleticism, his ceiling is forever lowered. Now, again, that doesn't mean he's always going to be as bad as this year, but what I'm getting at is, even if he were to break out of whatever he's in right now, I don't think he'll ever get back to 2017 again, ever. I think that's gone.
Yeah, I would tend to agree with that, but the bottom line is, I don't think they're ready to give up on him yet, and even as far as I'm concerned, and I've been really tough on him, and I've been really frustrated with him, I would find it difficult to give up on that kind of thing yet, because, I mean, there is the potential that, say, he gets traded to Indianapolis with Frank Reich and they reunite and all of a sudden, you know, he does become a top 10 type guy again when you see right. what Frank Reich has done with a guy like Philip Rivers, who's not athletic.
Right. But I do agree with the general premise. Like, I think this is a big game for him. I'm not expecting much, but here's what bothers me about that report from Ian Rappaport. It sounds very half measure-y, which is what the Eagles, like, everything the Eagles have done lately has been half measure. Like, when's the last time, Tom, now I'm putting you on the spot here, so if you can't think of something on the spot, if you have to think about it for a few minutes, maybe later in the show come up with something, that's fine. But what's the last decision that you think the Eagles made that was a home run decision? Like, it doesn't even have to be personnel. It can be an organizational decision. Like, when's the last time, like, man, Eagles nailed it. That was a great decision. Like, they messed up Peters. They messed up draft picks. Hargrave, they messed up. I think they're utilizing Hurts wrong. They messed up, what's it called? Roby Coleman.
Right. Well, I mean, the last...
Mailata, they put him back on the bench. Like, they seem to do everything wrong, and it's because, like, they never want to go all in on one thing. And this goes back to a lot of the reports about there being, you know, organizational, tugs of war going on in the organization.
I'd say the last decision that... You know, I mean, the Wentz thing looked like a home run. Obviously, it ended up, you know, maybe not being a home run. But the last big decision, I mean, I think was firing Chip and changing that direction in the organization.
It's been right. like almost 5 years.
Right.
Like, they've made so many poor decisions lately. And I think, like, what is this? All right, so they want to ramp up Jalen Hurts, his usage. Well, then just start him. Like, what is this? What are you going to play him for a series and then pull him out of the game? Like, what are they doing? Either play him all game or play him none. You can't put him in for a series and then take him out and put Wentz in. Like, that's essentially playing two quarterbacks. Like, this is absurd. What are they doing?
No.
Like, and who's pulling the strings here? Is this Howie's idea?
No. Like, Mike, I think, you know, I was going to get to this, but I think there could be, extra motivations here, because I thought it was interesting how that kind of leaked out. I do think they're going to play Hurts more. I do, and I would agree that if you're going to play him, you might as well just play him. I think this might be some sort of last-ditch attempt to get something out of Carson Wentz.
Like, to motivate him?
Yeah, I do. I really do believe there is an aspect of that here, because I think they see the same things that we are seeing as far as the body language, the lack of emotion, the lack of confidence. And I really do believe that that was calculated to try to jolt something free in him. Whether it works or not, who knows? But I think they are trying anything they can to kind of get him back to some sort of competent level.
And that's a very good point. I think another theory is, now I'm just kind of projecting here, but you know how like insiders work, right? You know, information gets passed down and it goes through channels.
Right.
Maybe there's a thing where, you know, somebody told Ian Rappaport, hey, heads up, man, Jalen Hurts is getting a lot more reps with the first stringers this week. And he interpreted it as they're going to use him more. But maybe that's an indication that this is the week where if Carson Wentz sucks, they're going to put Jalen Hurts in and he's going to be the starter.
Oh, I think, well, without a doubt. Well, I don't think Hurts is going to start. I'll say that.
No, he won't start. But like, if Carson Wentz bombs the first quarter and they're down 14-0, I could absolutely see Hurts starting the rest of the game.
Oh yeah, I agree. I think either way, Mike, I do think you know, we will see more Hurts, and if Wentz doesn't play well, I think it will be just Hurts.
And you know what I hope? Like, this is going to sound weird, but I hope, obviously, he's either amazing or he's terrible, right? Because if he's amazing, obviously, I mean, that goes without saying. I mean, you could have a next great quarterback. I hope he comes out and lights up the place. But the worst thing for Jalen Hurts to be is like a mixed bag, like good one play, bad the next, good one game, because what it does is two things. It's twofold. For one, when the season ends, I want to have an idea one way or the other. Obviously, we'll never know for sure, but I just want to have an indication of what Jalen Hurts is when the season's over, whether it's good or whether it's awful. This way, when they go into the draft, or if they're in the position to draft a quarterback, at least they will have a better idea. So if he's a mixed bag, then they'll be like, eh, well, we don't really know what to make of Hurts. But for another reason is, if he's great, then great. We have a great quarterback. But if he's kind of like toes that line where he's mediocre, he's going to win you just enough games to bump you out of that top 10 draft slot. Yeah. You know,
yeah.
I'm sorry about over obsessing about that, but Tom, they're number seven now.
No, I get it. I get it, Mike.
They could get Jamar Chase at the end of the season.
I get it, but there are so many bad teams. I don't think the Eagles are going to be drafting all that high anyway. Like, they're going to end up.
I think they're going to lose out.
You do?
I really don't.
I think they will at least beat, like, Dallas.
Well, that's the only one I think they have
right.
a shot.
I mean, I think they could also beat Washington. I mean, we'll see what ends up happening. But I think, you know, with how many bad teams they are this year, I don't think there's any chance they're drafting the top five.
Well, speaking of that, man, like, is it just me? Or because I know you like to watch Red Zone when the Eagles don't play.
Right.
It seems like. It's almost like there's like 10 teams in the league that are trying to lose. The amount of critical, awful mistakes being made by like 10 different teams.
It's why Chargers was a bit.
I mean, what the hell was with that?
That was unbelievable. Mike,
are they trying to lose? Are they just that incompetent?
I mean, as somebody who had the Bills minus 4.5, I'm not all that upset with what happened, but it was terrible.
The Bengals fumbled the ball.
It's the reason why Adam Gase still has a job, Mike. It's the only reason why Adam Gase still has a job is because they are worried if they fire him, they may actually win a football game.
Yeah, and by the way, I actually agree with that decision.
I do too.
Yeah, they need to fire. What, you're going to fire Adam Gase now when you kept him for like 70% of the season?
Right.
Like, what the hell does that? What point does that make?
No, I'm with you, Mike. I appreciate it. Yeah, no, I agree, and that's why I'm getting more and more bothered by Dan Orlovsky. You know, we know Orlovsky goes over the top with his defense of Carson, but Orlovsky went on a rant after the Jets game of, this is, how can you keep Adam Gase? Why do you not get rid of him right? You got to get rid of him right now and get a new coach in there who's going to start winning for this organization. It's like, do you not understand what's going on, Dan? Like, do you not understand what the Jets' motivations are right now? Trevor Lawrence is like the most polished quarterback prospect I have seen maybe ever. Like, Patrick Mahomes is great. Nobody saw this in Patrick Mahomes coming out of college, except maybe Andy. But aside from that, nobody saw this. The only other quarterback prospect I can remember being like this much of a can't miss coming out of college is probably Andrew Luck. Andrew Luck was similarly touted as can't miss. This guy's going to be a stud. But Trevor Lawrence, I was watching that Clemson game on Saturday, and the guy hadn't played in a month, and he came out, and he just diced up Pittsburgh. Like, it was insane. You know, he's a once-in-like-a-generational type quarterback. Those guys don't come out very often. And, yeah, that's why the Jets aren't firing Adam Gase. The only reason the Jets aren't firing Adam Gase. And it's the right move. You shouldn't fire Adam Gase, because if you fire Adam Gase and you promote Greg Williams, the interim coach, Greg Williams is that kind of guy who's not a good coach, but he's the kind of fiery interim coach that might win you two games and take you out of the Trevor Lawrence thing. There's a reason why Adam Gase still has a job, and it's not to win football games. 215-592-9494. 215-592-9494. If you want to get in, we had a couple calls on hold. A couple guys dropped off. If you want to chime back in, it'll be first right after the break. Or if anybody else wants to call in. 215-592-9494. When we get back, I want to build off something we were talking about with Mike. Because I found it curious the way these reports came out Sunday morning. And I think there could have been some ulterior motives from the Eagles organization, maybe sending a message to Carson Wentz. So we'll get to that a little more when we get back. I will also give you my keys to this game and my prediction as to what will happen on Monday night. That's coming up next. I'm Tom Kelly, in for Big Daddy Graham, Sports Radio 94 WIP. Sports Radio 94 WIP, I'm Tom Kelly, in for Big Daddy Graham. Find me on Twitter, at TommyKelly44. Obviously, talking a lot about the Eagles tonight, quarterback situation, what's going to happen, and how Carson Wentz is going to respond to this, which I find to be by far the most fascinating storyline to come out of all of this. And we'll talk about the game. I'll give you my prediction this segment and stuff like that. And we'll talk Eagles probably the rest of the hour here. But please stay tuned for the 4 o'clock segment. Because I understand it's an Eagles football Monday and it's game day and all that kind of stuff, and we'll do a lot of Eagles talk, but this Philly story is just unbelievable. And I was on last night, I talked about it a little bit with John Middleton and the layoffs, and you know, I mean, I'm not trying to brag here, but I have been telling people about John Middleton before anybody else was telling you John Middleton was fraud. This is one that I feel like I got right for all the things I get wrong, and I get plenty wrong. This is one I got right, and I'm glad everybody's finally starting to see the snake oil salesman fraud, you know, guy that just wants to take your money that John Middleton is. But, you know, what happened with the Phillies this past week with these layoffs and the numbers, as Marcus Hayes put them into context in his piece on theinquirer.com. It's a tremendous piece. I'd encourage everybody to go read it. But it will make you sick to your stomach. It really will. The fact that John Middleton elected to do this on the week of Thanksgiving, get rid of 80 employees. They try to spin it as, you know, they gave some of these people buyouts. I mean, okay, they're forced buyouts, so whatever. The amount of money saved here, the percentages that Marcus Hayes gives you to tell you just how much the Phillies really saved here, and comparatively to like a normal person making a normal living wage, it will literally make you sick to your stomach. And John Middleton, I can't think of somebody, and I think Mike in South Philly brought this up last night, who's had a worse run and has done more damage to their reputation than this guy has over the last, what, 18 months? He has gone from an owner who people liked, an owner that people believed in, an owner that people truly thought was one of us, wanted to win, cared about the team, cared about the fans, cared about, you know, championships, to a person who has been exposed as badly as anybody can be exposed, as a fraud, as a liar, as a just cold-hearted, person who doesn't care about winning, doesn't care about putting a competitive product on the field. All he cares about is taking your money and putting it in his pocket. That's all he wants to do. And it's become increasingly clear that's all that dog and pony show that was the 2019 offseason. They go out, they sign Bryce Harper, they sign McCutcheon, trade for Real Muto, all that stuff. That wasn't done to win baseball games. That wasn't done to win championship. It was done to get people back in the ballpark. People would stop going, wanted to get people back in the park. I guess he accomplished his goal in the short term, but his reputation is tarnished forever. Everybody knows what he is now. And you compare that to the complete 180 that Josh Harris has done over the past few months. It is astonishing. And we'll get more into the Philly stuff in the 4 o'clock hour, because it's disgraceful. And this organization, every time you feel like they are at a point that is just the lowest they can get, they go lower. And they really are one of the worst organizations in all sports. And I hate to say that because I love the Phillies. 2007 through 2011, probably my favorite like era of any sports team I've ever watched in this town. But they have been, John Middleton, one thing he's right about is they have been a bad organization for 100 years. And he's a big part of why that is right now. So we'll get to that more in the 4 o'clock hour. But it is truly disgraceful what that organization did this week. 215-592-9494. 215-592-9494 if you want to get in. I'll give you my prediction for the game in a second, but real quick, we were talking last segment about Carson Wentz. We've been talking about Carson Wentz all night. Now, I am fascinated to see how he's going to play Monday night. I'm fascinated to see how he responds to this sort of adversity. Adversity he's never faced before. He's faced adversity as far as being injured and watching his backup have success. 2 years in a row. 2017, Nick Foles comes in, wins the Super Bowl. 2018, Nick Foles comes in, leads his team on a deep playoff run. Falshon Jeffery catches that ball. Who knows where that season ends? You know, the Eagles could have won that game. I mean, they would have had to stop Drew Brees on the subsequent possession. I'm not sure that would have happened. But the Eagles win that game. They go to L.A. They play the Rams. I think they could have beat the Rams. And then, you know, if they did end up back in the Super Bowl against Patriots, who knows what would have happened in a rematch. But, you know, Carson has faced adversity in that regard. He's never faced adversity in being, you know, taken out or had his role decreased because of a lack of effectiveness and because of a poor performance. And that is a much different type of adversity where, you know, you look at it and you can tangibly feel that the organization, the owner, general manager, front office, head coach, coaching staff, that they are losing faith in you. And I found it interesting the way that the news came out on Sunday morning. It was right about like 7 a.m. where Tim McManus reports that Jalen Hurts has been getting plenty of first-team reps this week. Ian Rappaport follows that up by saying Jalen Hurts is expected to have an increased role on Sunday night. Now, this comes on the heels of Doug Peterson being non-committal on Wednesday, and that's really when you knew that Jalen Hurts was gonna be playing. Because if Jalen Hurts was not going to be playing more, why would Doug have answered the question that way? Why would he have not just said, yeah, Carson's our guy and things are going to be staying that way? Eventually, he got to that point. But when he didn't answer in a convincing fashion, it was clear to pretty much everybody that Jalen Hurts was probably going to play more. But the Eagles, obviously, for whatever reason, wanted this out there on Sunday morning. This stuff just doesn't come out of nowhere. Now, you know, it's either there's major dysfunction and somebody leaked this without any kind of approval. And if that's the case, you got to find out who did that and, deal with it, because it does hamper you from some sort of competitive advantage where Seattle now knows to expect some Jalen Hurts. And I'm sure they prepared a little bit for it, but I'm not sure to the extent they did. But I don't think that's the case. You know, and this is maybe a bit of a conspiracy theory. This isn't like based on facts that I have or reporting that I'm doing. But I think there is, you know, a legitimate chance that the Eagles wanted to get this out there. And I don't necessarily agree with the way they are handling it, if that's the case. You know, if you want to make a change, you make a change. I don't think you just kind of work a quarterback in and play two quarterbacks. I think you play the quarterback that you feel gives you the best chance to win the football game, whether that's Carson Wentz, whether that's Jalen Hurts. You play that quarterback, that's your guy, and you go with that guy. You know, you want to sprinkle Hurts in a little bit, I guess you can maybe do that, even though it seems to at times disrupt the rhythm of the offense, even though this offense hasn't had much of a rhythm this year. But I really think there is a possibility they leaked this to motivate Carson Wentz. I do. Because, you know, and it comes to a lot of the things we talked about this morning and that we've talked about the last few weeks here with Carson Wentz, where, you know, he's obviously not playing well. Whether that is physically plays into it, but there is a mental aspect of it as well. And it's clear that he is a guy playing with very little confidence and very little emotion. And as I said earlier, it's what's bothered me the most about Carson this year, beyond just his play, but his body language, his leadership, his comments after games, his lack of emotion, his lack of irritation. Like, it's okay to be angry when you're not playing well. It's okay to be angry when your offense isn't performing. And, you know, with the nation watching on Monday night, I think they, the Eagles being they, as an organization, view it like I do. They want to see how Carson Wentz responds to this kind of pressure. I truly believe that. Because when this is still your guy, you know, as much as we've talked about Jalen Hurts, and we talk about Jalen Hurts, this is much less about Jalen Hurts and much more about Carson Wentz. Because Carson Wentz, whether you like it or not, he is the franchise quarterback. And he will continue to be that, at least throughout the rest of the season and next season, because he's under contract and it's a contract he can't get out of. And the Eagles' primary job right now should be finding a way to fix Carson Wentz. Is that possible? I don't know. I have much less faith in that now than I did even 6 weeks ago. But it's clear that I think the organization feels like they need to take a different approach here, because they have tried the gentle approach. They've tried the putting on the kid gloves and coddling Carson and sticking up for Carson and constantly brushing blame elsewhere. They have tried that, and that clearly has not worked. So I think this was calculated. I think these leaks on Sunday morning were calculated by this organization to try a different approach and think, well, maybe if we put some pressure on him, maybe if we put, you know, some heat on him. Monday night, nation watching, your job's on the line. Let's see how he responds. And we're going to find out a lot about him. We are. Because if he's a franchise quarterback, he'll come out and he'll say, bleep this. This is my job. This is my team. I'm going to play well, and I'm going to take my job back. I'm going to take my team back. That's what I want to see him do. That's what he should do. Because honestly, I said it earlier, that's what Donovan McNabb did in 2008. Donovan McNabb got benched. Kevin Cobb played poorly, and Donovan McNabb said, forget this. I'm coming out next week. I'm taking my team back. I'm taking my job back. Through four touchdowns, Eagles put up 48 points, and they went on a run to the NFC Championship game. If Carson Wentz is a franchise quarterback, that's what he'll do. I'm not saying go to an NFC Championship game, but he will rise to the occasion, he will play well Monday night, and he'll play well the rest of the year. And I think the organization really felt they needed to try a different approach, because the approach they were using was not working. The approach that they were going with, as far as, you know, being gentle with Carson and taking it easy on him and trying to the positive reinforcement. Maybe that doesn't work for him. Because, you know, we talk so much about 2017 and Reich and DeFilippo. Apparently Frank Reich and John DeFilippo were tough on him. Apparently they were, you know, kind of the bad cops while Doug was the good cop that year. And I think in this organization, there's gotten to be way too much of a comfortable approach with Carson Wentz, and he feels too comfortable. Maybe they feel like he needs to feel uncomfortable. He needs to feel some heat. He needs to feel some pressure, and hopefully that'll bring the best out of him because they're desperate to do that and get the most out of this quarterback. 215-592-9494 if you want to get in. Let's go to Linda. What's up, Linda?
Hello, dear.
How are you, Linda?
I'm hanging. Okay. Been a bad week, but I'm hanging. The thing is, you know what he reminds me of, darling? He reminds me of a catcher, and you've seen a couple of these guys that can't throw to a certain base anymore. It's hysterical. I don't know how many. Mackie Sasser was one of them. There was
yet Altuve this year in the playoffs, Linda. Altuve couldn't throw to first or second base this year.
That's right. You're right. See, he has no touch on his ball. So, I mean, look, I'm about to blame everybody because I think that Doug is very inept. He don't have a clue. And that's why every other word he says, listen, did you notice that? He says that when he gets real ticked off. Listen, when he can't explain it right.
Yeah.
I get a kick out of that. Now, I think I'm about to disagree with you.
Okay.
For the first time. I am not giving Andy Reid an appreciation day.
Oh, come on,
I cannot stand Andy Reid. That's like giving Tito Francona an appreciation day going somewhere else and winning the World Series. Please, Andy Reid is an old grumpus.
Linda.
I can't stand him.
Terry Francona didn't have a 50th of the success that Andy Reid had in Philadelphia. Come on.
What did Andy Reid do here?
Did he win a Super Bowl? No, he didn't win a Super Bowl.
That's all I want to know, darling.
So unless anybody wins a Super Bowl, you know, there's no reason to care about them.
Well, he was here long enough, hon.
Were you a Buddy Ryan fan, Linda?
No, I didn't like him at all.
All right. Well, there you go.
I'll see you later, darling.
All right. See you later, Linda. I mean, we know Andy didn't win a Super Bowl, but I mean, he's a great coach, and I get it. It's a rough time for the Andy haters. The Andy haters, I've had a rough 12 months here, because he finally won a Super Bowl, so you can't say that anymore. He's probably going to win several Super Bowls, and he's going to go to the Hall of Fame. He's a great coach. I'm not saying the Eagles shouldn't have fired him. It was time to fire him. Not litigating that, but yeah, I mean, Andy Reid is a great coach, and he's probably the best coach in the NFL right now, and he's got the best quarterback in the NFL, and he's the only one who saw it. So yeah, it's been a rough time for the Andy haters. So my condolences to the people who don't like Andy Reid, because you're going to be watching him win for a long, 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 long time, and he'll shove it in your face every time, and I love to see it because I like Andy Reid a lot. 215-592-9494 215-592-9494 if you want to get in. Mike, you'll be first right after the break. When I get back, I will also give you my keys to this game and my prediction for what I think will happen on Monday night. That's coming up next. I'm Tom Kelly, Sports Radio 94 WIP. Sports Radio 94 WIP, I'm Tom Kelly, in for Big Daddy Graham. If you want to get in, 215-592-9494 is how you join the show. In a couple minutes, I will give you my prediction for this Eagles game. And also talk about something that is going to bother every Eagles fan on Monday night. And I think everybody kind of knows what that is. The player on the Seahawks, who it is going to be very painful to watch play, who could have been an Eagle, but is not. And the Eagles' drafting record at a certain position, which it just is more infuriating every day you watch and you look at Sunday, and another wide receiver goes off who the Eagles could have had. So we'll get to that in a minute. First, let's talk to Mike in the Northeast. What's up, Mike?
Hey, what's going on, Tom? How are you?
Good. How you doing, man?
I'm all right. First and foremost, I just want to extend like a little prayer to the city, to you guys at 94 WIP. You know, everything's crazy right now. It's been a wild Thanksgiving week. So,
appreciate
I'm an optimist. You know, Carson, he's done a lot of great things for the city with his foundation and whatnot. I went to his charity softball game, you know, stuff like that. It's really nice. And, you know, I want to see Carson succeed. This is the biggest game of his career, and it seems like we're saying that every week. But like you said earlier, the Monday night, everyone's watching. Maybe he needs that pressure. And, you know, I want him to succeed. I'm an optimist. And people who don't want that, I don't even know what to say. Like, you want to see him fail. No, I'm not happy with Doug and the way he calls plays. No, I'm not happy with how Carson's been playing. And no, I'm not happy with what Howie Roseman has done. But I still want to see Carson succeed. We all believed in this guy. We've seen what he can do.
Well, this is the thing, Mike. I don't think anybody wants to see Carson fail. I don't think anybody wants to see that.
Yeah, I would hope not. You know, you know how us Eagles fans can be. We're very hard. But the Seahawks defense, you know, they can't stop a nosebleed. They are in shootouts every game, basically, and it's a great opportunity. Honestly, I'm hoping Miles Sanders is getting the carries. They got Peters moving to guard. You know, maybe that side of the line can move the ball running-wise. But, you know, I saw that Sanders hasn't even hit 20 carries in a game in his career.
Yeah. Like, yeah, no, I got you, Mike, and I appreciate it, man. Thanks for the call. You know, I know we always want to run the ball more. Tonight's not the night for that. It's not. The Seahawks have the worst passing defense in the NFL. You got to throw the ball, and you're going to have to score points in this game. Let's face it. Seattle is going to score. I'd be shocked if they score any less than 24. I mean, if the Eagles hold Russell Wilson and the Seahawks to 24 points, I will say the defense has done their job. This Seattle offense is that talented where you hold them to 24, I think you've done a good enough job. The Eagles are going to need to score points. And this is a Seattle defense that is really bad against the pass. And as I get to my keys here for this game, that's one of my main keys, is the Eagles got to find a way to score a ton of points in this game. I think 27 minimum. But this is not the night for, you know, yelling for Doug to run the ball 40 times. It's just not. You do whatever you got to do to win, and if the game dictates that, so be it. But this is the worst pass defense in the NFL. They've been bad this year. And, you know, the Eagles need to find a way to exploit that. And it's just a night where you're going to need to score points. Because Russell Wilson, that Seattle offense, they are going to score. As I said, you hold them to 24, I feel like you've done your job. But I don't know if it's trick plays. I don't know what, you know, Doug needs to do to dial up, whether it is more Jalen Hurts. I mean, I actually think, you know, you start Carson Wentz. You see how Carson Wentz is playing. If Carson Wentz is playing well, I would leave him in the game, and I wouldn't go to Jalen Hurts much at all. If Carson Wentz responds to the challenge like we hope he does, he probably gives you the best chance as far as throwing the football. Now, if Carson Wentz is struggling, you go away from him, and I think the Eagles will, and I think the leash for Carson Wentz tonight will be pretty short, but the Eagles got to find a way to score a ton of points. There's no doubt about that. The other key to the game defensively, if you're going to have any chance, you have to contain Russell Wilson. And the way you rush Russell Wilson is you need to rush him differently than you rush most quarterbacks, where, you know, you can't just assume once you get to him, you're going to get him down, because he is as good at avoiding sacks as any quarterback in the league. He's as good as any quarterback in the league at not taking hits. And it's incredibly important in a game like this for you to not just get pressure, but get pressure up the middle. Because if you get pressure on the outside and you're not getting a push in the middle, he's just going to step up. He's going to step through that little gap between the tackle and the guard. He's going to roll out, and he's going to find an open receiver. So you got to get pressure up the middle. And this is where it'll be nice if Javon Hargrave would show up. I mean, we're still waiting. It's been 10 games, and we're still waiting for Javon Hargrave to make an appearance. It'll be nice if he did something of consequence. But him, Malik Jackson, Fletcher Cox, they need to step up. The Eagles need to get pressure up the middle on Russell Wilson. And, you know, you also got to be careful when you're playing man coverage, which the Eagles do a lot, because you get your back turned, he's going to take off, and he's going to run for 20 yards. So that's obviously a key. And third key is one that, you know, I think we take for granted sometimes. We don't talk about a lot, but it's an aspect of the Eagles team where they've been just terrible this year. And it's not, you know, a normal characteristic for them is special teams. The Eagles' special teams this year have been terrible. Whether it's players fielding punts they shouldn't field, not fielding punts they should, penalties on seemingly every special teams play, missed field goals. Their special teams have been a disaster this year. And if the Eagles want any chance to beat a team like Seattle, who's clearly better than them across the board, you need to make plays on special teams. You need to pin them back deep. You need a couple big returns. You need to find a way to win the field position battle. So those are the keys of the game. I don't see the Eagles winning this game. I just can't pick them. I think Seattle wins it probably 27-17. I just don't see a way the Eagles can score enough points to stay with this team. And, you know, I feel the way most of our callers have felt, where, you know, we're talking about this game, and I think the biggest storyline is not how Jalen Hurts plays when he's given the opportunity, but it's how Carson Wentz responds to this adverse situation. And based on how he's played this year, I don't see him responding in a positive way. I don't. And he's got to prove it. He's got to prove it to me. He's got to prove it to every Eagles fan out there. He's got to prove it to their own team. Because the Eagles, obviously, are as concerned as everybody else is. When these reports are coming out that they're going to have a quick hook, you know, Jalen Hurts is going to play more, Jalen Hurts has gotten first-team reps, they are uncertain about Carson as well. And this is a night where he can go one of two ways. He can go in the tank, and he can quit, or he can go out and he could say, I'm tired of all this talk. I'm tired of all these people doubting me. I'm going to go out there and I'm going to take my team back. And that's what I think everybody would like to see from Carson Wentz on Monday night. And it's a pivotal point in his career. This, the way this season finishes, whether the Eagles make the playoffs or not, whether they win a lot of these games or not, it's going to, what really matters is how Carson Wentz plays. And if he can play at a level, you know, that will inspire confidence moving forward, then maybe this season isn't completely lost. Maybe you can still get something out of it. But this is a pivotal point where his own organization is doubting him, and he needs to step to the plate and prove them wrong, to be honest. 215-592-9494, 215-592-9494 is how you get in. And one thing that is going to be very frustrating watching this game on Monday night is DK Metcalf. And, you know, we have talked so much about DK Metcalf over the last couple years, and the fact that the Eagles could have had him and took J.J. Arcega-Whiteside. And, you know, this is where I really am losing patience with the front office and with Howie Roseman. And this has been an organizational issue for years. I don't understand why the Eagles, you know, can't evaluate this position. But DK Metcalf, you know, is one of the best receivers in the league, They could have had him. They could have had Terry McLaurin. They take J.J. Arcega-Whiteside. They have not taken really a quality wide receiver since Jeremy Maclin way back in 2009. Two best receivers they've drafted since that year, since they took Maclin, are Nelson Agholor and Jordan Matthews. Just think about that. They're the two best they have drafted. And, you know, Jalen Reagor, too early to know. But that's another thing. You're looking around on Sunday and watching all these games, and who's going off again? Who is having another huge game on Sunday afternoon? It's Justin Jefferson, the guy who the Eagles passed on to take Jalen Reagor. And, you know, as we're all watching this game on Monday night, obviously we'll be focused on the quarterback situation. But I know it'll frustrate everybody to see DK Metcalf out there and, you know, probably torching the Eagles secondary, because he's probably the best receiver in the NFL right now. It's probably either him or DeAndre Hopkins. And it's always painful to see players you could have had like that out on the field. And I'll tell you what, if the Eagles lose and it's ugly and Carson plays bad and DK Metcalf torches the Eagles again, I can guarantee you, a lot of people are going to be calling for Howie Roseman's job on Tuesday, and I don't think they'd be out of line. 215-592-9494, 215-592-9494 if you want to get in. When we get back, I see Dave and Cherry Hill is there. We'll talk to Dave, and also I got to get to this Philly story more in depth. We touched on it earlier, but Marcus Hayes wrote a scathing piece in regards to the Phillies' layoffs this week. And it will make your skin crawl to see the type of money the Phillies felt was worth firing a number of people within their organization this week, on Thanksgiving week, by the way. So we'll get to that next as well. 215-592-9494. I'm Tom Kelly, Sports Radio 94 WIP.
Why does it feel like nobody really gives us the inside scoop? Join us on The Powers That Be, the podcast where insiders from Puck break down who has influence, how they use it, and what it actually means for you. New episodes every weekday. Listen to The Powers That Be wherever you get your podcasts.